All right. It's Thursday, December 4th, 2014, and we are here together, Anne and Rolf. Okay. So sorry about all that.
No problem. That, you know, that's something I haven't done with any of my recordings, and that's such a good idea to just mark it that way, because 6 months from now you're listening to it and you have no idea when it was recorded.
Right.
You may not even be sure who it is.
I have done that more than once. And so that's why I say who it is. If I listen long enough, I can tell, but you would think it would
right.
be clear immediately, and it isn't always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's also a way to rename the file, isn't there, in free conference call? I haven't done that yet, but I think there is. So you could, after the call, you could name it, you know, Ken and Rolf in the date.
I think you might be right. I actually have my assistant do all of that. She just downloads it and then puts it on a page or sends it to us or, you know, whatever we want
it
done. So, yeah, I don't.
I'm really not good at this, right?
you can kind of tell I'm not good at this stuff, as is evidenced by my tries. My brain just doesn't keep all the details.
Fortunately, that's not required for success in this business.
Thank goodness,
having
right?
a detailed mind.
Yeah.
So I have to leave at 3 today, because I've got a meeting in Longmont at 3:30.
Sure.
So why don't we jump right in? And I'd like to make sure that you get your fair share, because you've helped me a lot lately. How about if we start with you, and then and go 30 minutes, and then I'll just take whatever time is left.
That's totally fine, and we may not need 30 minutes. I really don't know. The reason I'm so excited to do this with you is I feel like the whole 3Ps thing is very ethereal, and I don't like that. I want something more concrete. And I have something more concrete, like in the principles in the relationship handbook, you know, I know simple things like don't try and work something out when I'm in a bad mood, right?
Right.
But that's, you know, a kind of a takeaway from the 3 Ps. So what could we do that would, I don't know, help it be more a part of my life? I don't even know what to say. I just know that there's something really there that it feels like I'm just not utilizing like I'd want to.
So tell me, can you give me an example of a time recently when either at the time or now in this present moment, looking back on it, you can easily see kind of the principles at work in your life, where they've just been kind of gone from invisible to visible to you.
Okay, so that's a great question.
Just simple things is fine.
I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. Well, how about if I just kind of stir things up a bit and just kind of dig around a little and see what comes up and see if something resonates that you could formulate into a question. Does that sound okay?
Yep.
So, maybe I could start here. To what extent do you see your experience being created from the outside in? And to what extent do you see your experience being created from the inside out? If you could put, you know, easy ballpark percentages on it. Well, how would you answer that question?
That's a great question. And I would say over the years, I don't know if it's been the last 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, it's shifted dramatically. And if I catch myself thinking my experience is created from the outside, I remind myself that it isn't. So I'm not perfect at it, but it's almost all the time. I believe and behave knowing that my experience is created from the inside.
Mm-hmm. And how is that helpful to you? And if so, how?
Yes, it's super empowering, because if there's stuff just coming at me from the outside because it was created from the outside, nothing I can do about it. If I understand and behave knowing that it's created from the inside, my experience is whatever I can create in that moment.
So if you find yourself having an experience that you consider unpleasant, what occurs to you? What do you make of that when that's happening? And what do you do about it, if anything?
Okay, so that's a great question too. So unpleasant experience. I'm having one right now with one of my mentors. And so your question was, what do I think about that, and what, if anything, do I do about it?
Yeah, or what do you make of it?
What do I make of it? I don't like her behavior. I recognize there's some kind of opportunity here that I just don't recognize as an opportunity yet. What am I doing about it? I'm giving it a fair amount of space.
And why do that?
Why give it space?
Yeah.
Great question. Why give it space? Because it could look, because it would be very easy for me to think, Deanna's doing something to me that I don't like.
Yeah.
And that would be created from the outside. So if I'm creating this experience and I can't see my part, or I can't see the reason, or I can't even see that I'm creating it, I give it space for that to become clear.
Mm-hmm. And how confident are you that something will come up that will help bring clarity to the situation for you?
Very. Now, in the StrengthsFinder model, one of my top strengths is activator. So I want a lot of stuff now or yesterday. So
uh-huh.
Giving it space isn't the easiest practice for me. So I'm completely confident that at some point I will get it. I would have preferred to have gotten it before now. Like, this is something that it bubbles up, then it kind of resolves, then it bubbles up in a different form, and this latest form, you know, I'm kind of at a standstill with it. So she had suggested some times to talk. One of them was today, and then the next ones were the end of next week. And my natural activator would be to make it happen today, but it really wasn't time-wise working out. And then I just thought, well, maybe we need the space between now and next Thursday. So that's probably a new type of thinking that I didn't used to have available to me. Like,
you
I'm
mean
not always
that
trying to muscle things through.
That just that the spaciousness or could be have value in and of itself. Allowing allowing your connection with her, your relationship with her, your communication with her to have some space. And that space might have value in itself. Is that what you're thinking or
it's a little more specific than that, like it gives me some time to have a different perspective. It gives me time for my mood to shift. Now, this has been kind of ongoing for a while, so there's something going on where maybe it's better that I just don't have a lot of relationship with her. That's possible. And still, that would be I would not want to choose that in anger or thinking she's doing something to me.
Right.
So the space gives me more time to see what the value is, and then I would have a better sense of, you know, then maybe this will completely resolve. I don't think so. I think we've got a values difference kind of clashing. So that's okay. You know, my values are not the same as everybody's. But then I have to decide how closely I want to be aligned with her.
You know, one thing, one way that the principles have been so helpful to me is, and I really learned this from Sid Banks, and he I must have heard him say it, well, I don't know how many times, but a lot of times, and it was kind of a ongoing mantra of his, but it really sunk in, and that was, to have a much greater respect for the feeling of a situation. And that, you know, and I always thought about emotions as kind of, or feelings as emotions, and that they could, you know, well, emotions like love and passion were obviously wonderful feelings, but to just be suspicious of negative emotions and thinking that, you know, a mature person isn't overly affected by what I thought of as negative emotions. And I took a lot of pride in my ability to hang in there in difficult relationships and in my ability to be mature, what I thought of as mature in those situations and not overly reactive. And I really learned, ever told you the story about my first marriage?
Mm-mm.
I was engaged at age 23, and my fiance was 21. We met at St. Olaf College, and we were engaged to be married in March of that year, 1973. And I had reservations for 6 or so months prior, but it was just kind of this aggravating, niggling feeling. I couldn't put my finger on it. So I went to a counselor, and he had me get out two sheets of paper and write the pros and cons of Maria on these two sheets of paper, something I would, I mean, I just laugh at now. I just can't believe that he thought that was a good idea, but that's what he had me do. And so I, on the positive side, I went on and on and on. I mean, she was beautiful and creative, and I knew she was going to be a great mom, which ultimately she was. And her dad was a Lutheran minister, and my dad was a Lutheran minister, and both families had cabins on lakes in the woods. And, I mean, it just went, you know, we both went to St. Olaf, and we were both Scandinavian. It just went on and on and on. And then on the other side, on the negative side, all I could come up with was one thing. And the one thing was I just had this uncomfortable feeling that I couldn't really describe. Just the sense that something might be off, but I couldn't even tell him what it was. So he looks at these two lists and he says, "Rolf, most guys feel reservations before they get married. You've obviously got a winner here. Buck up and get married."
And great counseling.
And I shared this with several friends, and they all said the same thing. So we got married and spent the next 6 years fighting and got a divorce.
Wow.
So the beauty.
What do you make of that in hindsight?
Well, I think that inkling that I had was wisdom speaking. And the principles point to our innate health as human beings, and how, yes, our experience, the content of our experience gets created moment to moment from the inside out. But what do we do in situations where we're just kind of befuddled and we don't know what to do and we really don't know what the answer is and we feel confused or we're reacting? You've been in a situation where something happens between you and your mentor and you find yourself having a reaction that doesn't feel good, whatever that is. And the details don't matter so much as the underlying principles, which point to the fact that as human beings, when we quiet down, when we step back, I think your instincts are right on the money to just, you know, not react overtly when you're having an internal reaction. When you're in that state of reaction, that's not the time to have the conversation or to try to work it out. So your instincts are wonderful, and the reason why that's so powerful is if you take that opportunity to look in a different direction rather than looking at the situation or the person or the circumstances or whatever it is that's troubling, look in the opposite direction, in the direction of wisdom, in the direction of source. Look into that spaciousness and with expectation and openness and curiosity. And then your work is done. And all you have to do is just, you know, enjoy the day and do what makes sense and, you know, pay the bills and whatever. And at some point, many times, not always, and you can't, the thing is about insight is that you can't control it and you can't, you know, have a stopwatch on it. It comes when it comes.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, if you're trying to have an insight, you'll never have one. So it really involves letting go, and then when you have one, oftentimes they feel less than concrete or less than they come in the form of an inkling or a feeling. And so sometimes, especially for those of us that are logical people, it's tough to even know, you know, is that really wisdom speaking? And I mean, I'm not even sure what to do with that. the beauty of the, of learning to trust the feeling and respect it more is that in an amazing number of situations, it just nails on the head the right thing to do. And you don't necessarily have to, it doesn't have to have a logic. So for example, you could just simply have a feeling that something's off with this mentor. And if you trusted that feeling at a high enough level, that would be all you would need. There wouldn't be any need for analyzing it or even understanding why the feeling is there. But you would know that if the feeling was there, then that was the critical piece. And then just trust the universe to help you find the mentor that's right for you. Now, I'm not saying that's the case in this situation because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just pointing out, I'm just encouraging you to consider, I guess, two things. One is look for a feeling. And the other is look in the direction of insight and don't try to figure it out.
Okay. And I'm imagining, but I want to clarify, the reason you told me the story of your first marriage is if you had access to the principles back then and knew to practice what you're coaching me to practice, you might very well not have gotten married.
I wouldn't have.
You know you wouldn't have.
Yeah, and the thing is with that feeling, that spiritual feeling, is it trumps everything.
Do you want to know something hilarious about that?
What?
I was married the first time very young also, at the age of 20. And I had some niggly feelings. And if that wasn't enough, I was so not present that I was crossing Broadway in Denver and didn't even bother to see if cars were coming. And I got hit, and I didn't get hurt badly, you know, bruised up, but nothing broken.
Wow.
So the 3 or 4 days before we got married, I spent in bed recovering. And so I had plenty of spaciousness. And I knew, I didn't have a bad counselor. And I knew, but I didn't know to trust my knowing, and so I got married anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think that happens a lot. I think a lot of times people at that point realize that it's a mistake, but there's so much momentum heading towards getting married and the, you know, the consequences of changing your mind at the last minute takes a lot of courage.
Yeah, and the consequences of getting married and then having to get divorced a year later
are much worse.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So I think this is plenty for me to work with because you said you heard Sid say many times, pay attention to the feeling. I don't think I've seen that anywhere. So you've given me something to work with that I didn't have before, that's tangible.
Okay.
I can tell whether I'm paying attention to the feelings or not, and I can tell whether I'm looking in the direction of insight or not. I didn't have that before.
Cool.
Yeah.
Try that out for a couple of weeks and just see how it flies.
I will. I have this weird, like, spacious feeling in my head. Like, this happens just occasionally when I know something's really important. Like, my speech is slowed down now because it's almost like there's a part of me that's integrating it and almost like a reverence.
Mm-hmm.
So this is big.
So that's an example of the kind of feeling I'm talking about.
Got it. Okay.
You know, you're having that experience and you're noticing it. You're noticing that feeling.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if this is true for you, but for me, it's very, very different than emotion. You know, emotion,
right.
Happy, sad, scared,
right.
Mad, happy, you know, and then all the variations
right.
of that, frustrated,
right.
annoyed, whatever. This is none of those. So.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, some people refer to them as spiritual feelings, which makes some sense to me.
Mm.
They're deeper feelings. It's definitely a feeling, and it, you know, but it's more a feeling of well-being, and sometimes it's, you know, it feels like clarity. Sometimes it feels there's just a deep sense of knowing. And,
to me, this is like peace and excitement at the same time.
Hmm. Fun.
Yeah. I think it's peaceful because it's like, oh my gosh, what a difference my life would be with this. And then excited because, oh my gosh, what a difference my life would be with
yeah.
this.
And then when you think about, you know, having a conversation with your mentor, for example, about this, you might notice that you start having thinking about that. It would be
sure.
really normal to have thinking about that. And you might think, well, I don't know how they'll take this if I say this, and
mm-hmm.
maybe it would be better if I said that, and I don't want to hurt their feelings. I don't want to offend them. I don't want to be unfair. I mean, whatever the thinking is.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just encourage you to notice that and go back to the feeling and then speak from there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's so helpful to recognize that whatever feeling they might have, the truth is they might have any of those feelings or all of those feelings.
Sure.
And the truth is you have no control over that. And if they do have that experience, it has nothing to do with what you do or don't do. It's also being created from the inside out.
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, in an email to me, she said something like, I'm sorry you're frustrated, and I don't like that particular kind of conversation. And then she also said, I seem to elicit annoyance in you a lot, which, yes, that's true. And then she said, I'm sorry again. And that whole thing felt wrong to me. Factual, you know, I am frustrated. And, yes, it does seem like what's happening between her and me, I'm annoyed a lot. But she doesn't need to apologize because it's
uh-huh.
like, that's my experience.
Yeah.
So
as you quiet down about this, you might, you know, you might have some fresh ideas about ideas will come to you about what to say or what not to say or how to approach it.
Okay, beautiful.
It'll be interesting to see.
Yes, it will. I will report back. Oh, this is wonderful. Now, are you aware of reading this anywhere besides hearing it from Sid so many times?
The what?
The pay attention to the feelings.
Oh, you know, I just remember it from the talk. I mean, I went to several, retreats with Sid Banks, and I just remember him saying, look for the feeling. And I also, I'm sure he says it in his videotapes too. I don't remember where I saw it, but it's
sure.
It's pretty a common part of his message.
I mostly have read, and I've read several authors, but I haven't watched a lot of videos, and of course, I didn't hear Sid speak live, so it's new to me, and it's super helpful.
You know, you could go, have you ever gone to the sydneybanks.org website and looked at some of the videos there?
I have, and I did that probably as long as 3 years ago, so I don't remember a lot about it. Maybe I even did hear it, but didn't hear that I heard it.
Yeah, sure. That happens to me all the time. You said that? Yeah. No doubt.
So thank you. This was more than I had hoped for.
Yeah, you're so welcome. And by the way, you started out with this, and I meant to say it as well. I'm just so glad we're doing this. I think this is really going to be helpful to me, and if it can be as helpful to you as it is to me, I'm really happy we're doing this.
Mm, yeah, I'm sure it can be. Well, you know, in a way it's impossible to say because, you know, I'm not inside your experience. But if I feel I get great value and you feel you get great value, then to me, there you go. That's
what a great trade.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I can really use your help in terms with creating clients and closing and all that kind of stuff. So we'll have lots of good talks about that stuff. So
okay.
Can we transition?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let me see where I want to start. I think one thing what I'll do is just get a quick take on you from, I just want to share, I'm having some thoughts. Right now my website is Clear Mind Leadership, and that's what I've had for 15 years. And the advantage to keeping that is that website has history now. And so it's, you know, with search engine optimization and stuff like that, there's some reasons for keeping that because Google respects a 15-year-old website a lot more than one that's 6 months old.
Right.
But I have some reservations about keeping it. And it's simply this, that a lot of the time when I was doing that, I had some great clients and I had some great work experiences. I had situations where I, you know, was hired by a company and trained everybody in the whole company and made lots of money for a couple of years. And so there definitely were good times, but there was a lot of painful times where I just didn't feel grounded and I didn't feel sure of myself and I was going through a lot of doubt. And I spent a lot of time in my basement just kind of feeling panicky and not very happy about the fact that I didn't have more business. And anyway, long story short, when I think of myself as going out and talking about my business and saying Clear Mind Leadership, I have real mixed feelings about it. Part of it is I feel really proud of it, and part of me just winces because of the kind of the painful personal experiences. Mm-hmm. Those weren't public experiences, they were personal.
Sure.
So so I'm considering three possibilities at the moment. One is to go with RalphEvenson.com, and another is to go with my good friends Ken Manning and Robin Charbit have this really successful coaching and consulting practice in Boston, and they call it Insight Principles. And they've just written a fantastic book that I highly recommend. It's not out yet, but I just read a copy, and called The Invisible Power. And so they call their business
Power, not Tea Tower.
Invisible Power.
Got it.
Yeah.
When
and so the other two. What's that?
When will it be out?
I don't know.
Okay.
Right now, they just sent me a PDF. They're asking friends and colleagues to, you know, go through it and give them feedback and help them fix it and stuff. But it's really great. It's really going to be helpful for all of us. I'm thrilled about it. So I also own the Clarity Principles, and I own SynergyPrinciples.com.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering from a branding point of view, if you have any reaction to any of that.
I do. I have a lot. So the first thing about clear mind leadership, it goes right back to what you just taught me about inside out and feeling. So even though your challenging experiences were private, that's still your energy around it.
Yeah.
And not to say you couldn't shift your energy. You could if
right.
you wanted. But I think that's something to really consider. Like, is that an outdated version of you? Now, from a pragmatic standpoint, I've gone through so much angst about this myself, because thank goodness I had the presence of mind a long time ago to always have AnnStrong.com. And then as I would come up with all these new products and programs, I'd have those too, and they would feed into AnnStrong.com. But I really developed the Thriving Coaches brand, and I didn't sell it. I didn't really close it. I still mostly coach coaches, but Thriving Coaches is not my focus. And it's been really challenging to know how to cleanly extricate myself. So from a personal experience perspective, I would strongly encourage you to use your own name. However, the whole branding around a program, Clear Insight, is worthy of thinking about. I right now just have mine pointing to AnnStrong.com. So I've had AnnStrong.com since 99. So same thing you said. It comes right up because of search engine stuff. Now, the counterpoint to search engine stuff is, again, where is your experience created, within you or through Google?
Yeah.
So given all of that, what are you hearing? What are you sensing? What seems true for you?
Well, one thing that resonates, I liked how you tied it back to what you and I just went through with your situation. I think if I were going to look at it just from that perspective, I would create something new because you said it well. Clear Mind Leadership feels like an old version of me.
Okay.
And as far as RalphEvenson.com versus Clarity Principles versus Synergy Principles, what has appealed to me about Ralph Evenson is the simplicity of it, the fact that I'm not trying to be anything other than myself.
Right.
And I'm just, here I am, world, and I'm it. I'm not trying to convince you of anything else. I like I'm between Clarity Principles and Synergy Principles. At the moment, I'm liking Synergy Principles more. I think what I like about that is that it's not about me. It really is about these principles that I teach. I have this notion, I don't know if it's going to happen or not, but I've just had this idea for the last couple of years about starting a coaching company. I just think we need to help grow the principles in the world. This inside out revolution needs to happen, sometimes I've met a guy in Denver now, and he and I are having talks about doing work together. And he just went to the conference in Minnesota a month ago, and so I guess the idea of something like synergy principles is interesting to me because for those reasons, that it's pointing in the direction of the truth about life. It's pointing to the essence of what my mission is for the rest of my professional life, I think, is sharing the principles with as many people as I can in as powerful a way as I can figure out how to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where
what does synergy mean to you? Like, I conceptually understand clarity principles, although I may understand it different than what you mean. I don't personally know what synergy principles means.
Well, that's interesting. You know, synergy is the magic that can happen when, for example, people work together and they're, you know, in a real creative groove with each other. And one simple analogy is I used to play in bands, and what I absolutely loved was when the band would just fall into this amazing groove together, and we'd be improvising within the framework of the song, but there would be this amazing synergy happening, which is, you know, magic that goes above and beyond what any of us could have created individually. So it speaks to the creative magic that can happen when people are in a creative place. And it goes far beyond what seemed possible. Let me look it up and see what the dictionary says.
Yeah.
The interaction of elements that, when combined, produce a total effect that is greater than the sum of the individual parts' contribution. The cooperative action of two or more. So that's all that it has.
And how does that relate to the three P's in your mind?
I guess that the deeper our understanding of the principles, the more likely synergy is to occur.
Nice. So here's
what you're getting at is really interesting, though, because my friends have the name Insight Principles, and I think that nails it to me.
Right.
The goal is to have an insight that changes how you see things, that changes how you show up, that changes your results.
Yeah.
And so, you know, synergy is an offshoot of that. I mean, if you have a group of people experiencing insight, you know, then the synergy can start happening. Or if you individually start to have lots of insights, then synergy starts happening in your life. And, you know, there's momentum, creative momentum and all of that. But insight really gets to the heart of it more powerfully. And maybe clarity does too. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I'll just tell you from my own personal experience. The cool thing about Rolf Evensen is there's always going to be a new version of you. So even as your website gets updated, it's never going to be an old version of you, as is
right.
Perhaps going to happen with any kind of other name.
Or branding.
And yeah, like thriving coaches, I still am passionate about thriving. I'm still passionate about coaches.
Uh-huh.
And I still mostly coach coaches to be thriving. Right. That's what you and I are doing here, right?
Right, right. So one of us
could
argue that should be your name. I mean, somebody could make that statement.
Exactly. And it sort of is my name because I haven't really retired it either. You know, if you type
right.
in Thriving Coaches, up will pop AnnStrong.com, right? So I think it's a beautiful case in point. I wish I didn't have to be the model, but here we are, of even so, it feels like an old version of me to a certain extent. And not entirely, it's just that my new brand is around I was born for this and helping you bring that to reality. So it isn't restricted to coaches. It still has the whole thriving thing in it. Obviously, if you were born to do something, you're thriving. But who knows, 6 years from now, will I have another concept? I probably will. Will you have another concept? You might. You might not.
So what you're saying, what I'm getting from this, I'm really liking this because it's Ann, I'm looking at it right now, and it's AnnStrong.com, but what you see when it comes up on your screen is I was born for this. And
mm-hmm.
a year from now, that might be something different. So what it does is it just gives you creative license to lead with whatever inspires you the most and whatever is most effective in terms of reaching your audience.
Yes. Yes.
That's really interesting. Okay. Let's move on because that was really helpful and I have a couple other things.
Okay, great.
I'm getting a sense of how I'm going to grow my practice, and I'll just tell you a quick story. So here's an example of how I think it's going to work. I got invited and inspired to help co-found Startup Longmont, this new movement in Longmont to help
mm-hmm.
build a creative entrepreneurial ecosystem in Longmont. And so there are meetings on, you know, a weekly basis of one sort or another. There's the education committee, of which I'm a part. I'm going to be teaching classes. And there's the Longmont Open Coffee Club where, you know, I brought in a speaker who's an entrepreneurial friend of mine. That meets every 2 weeks. And we have 30 entrepreneurs every week that come to that. And I'm the publisher of the Startup Longmont Digital Magazine. And so I'm meeting people like Scott Converse, the CEO of the Tinker Mill, which is a 10,000 square foot makerspace for musicians, artists, scientists, and business folks in Longmont. And another example is Terry Gold, who's a co-founder with me. And turns out Terry was the founding CEO of Gold Systems in Boulder, and he was the CEO of that company for 20 years and just sold it a couple of years ago. And since then, he's become an angel investor and a mentor to entrepreneurs. And he's currently launching a new business, which is going to be an angel investment company in Longmont, and also a business shared workspace and business incubator, 10,000 square feet in downtown Longmont. And in fact, that's where I'm going. That's where my meeting is at 3:30. And Terry and I are just connecting in a beautiful way. I just love him. He's just a beautiful person. He's so humble and so kind and so smart and so talented and so well connected, and I discovered that he loves music, and so we talk about that and about our kids, and we're just developing a friendship, and we usually see each other at these various meetings and try to find a chance to connect for a few minutes, and at the end of the Longmont Open Coffee Club on Tuesday, I was chatting with him, and he mentioned that he'd been up since 2:30 in the morning, and that, you know, he's just in the midst of the startup, and he's trying to get in the gigabyte broadband, and he's trying to, you know, dealing with interior designers and architects and all this stuff. And I could just tell he was exhausted because he didn't get any sleep that night. And I looked at him, and I just said, Terry, you know, you're right in the middle of this, the whirlwind of this startup. I can help you with that. If you're, you know, if it's getting to a place where you're starting to lose sleep, why don't we meet for coffee and carve out an oasis in the storm for you and see if I can help you ease the pressure you're feeling a little bit so you can make better decisions and just enjoy the ride a little more than you are at the moment. And he asked me, well, you know, are you talking about a paid gig or a, you know, for free? And I said, well, let's not worry about the money at this point. I just want to have coffee with you at a time when we're not surrounded by all this activity and all these people, where we can really connect, and I really want to understand what you're going through. And then, you know, if there's a good reason for us to work together, we'll figure that out. So I think he really appreciated that invitation, and we're in fact going to meet next Tuesday. And I don't know if that'll evolve into a coaching situation or not. He's had coaches for years, and so he's totally open to that and has practiced that, but he doesn't have one now. So it could very well evolve in that direction. And I feel really comfortable. I don't feel like I'm on the make, or that I'm trying to convince him of anything, or that I'm trying to close anything. I just am being of service, and I also feel confident that when you know, if it really does make sense for us to continue meeting and working together, then we can talk about that. I think that'll happen in a natural way. So I think that's kind of the model that I expect I'll follow. So I guess I have two questions for you, and I see that our time's almost up. I guess what I'd like to talk about first is, and maybe it's all we have time for, is let's say he says he'd love to work together. Mm-hmm. I am new enough at getting back into this that I'm not even sure what to offer him. And so I guess what would be helpful is if you could kind of help me think through what my offer might be or what I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. So just for a second, just thinking about him, not thinking about the bigger picture, what's your sense of what kind of engagement would really serve him right now?
Good question. Well, I think a weekly sanity check would be really helpful.
Great.
And I think in terms of I'll just throw several things mm-hmm. Come to mind. One would be that we did a contract for I mean, I think the minimum would be like 10 sessions or something, you know, just enough to really get some traction. Or we could contract for 3 months, or we could contract for, you know, obviously 6 months or 12 months.
How long is the project going, do you know?
Well, it'll be ongoing. And, you know, I think that the big crunch, probably the next 3 months.
Okay.
But I think it's also probably fair to say that, you know, the next year is going to be challenging.
What if you gave him a 3-month option and a 12-month option?
And then let's talk about what that costs.
Okay.
I've talked with some friends, my friends at Insight Principles. I mean, they work with some big companies, and, you know, I asked them what they charge if they're going to work one-on-one with a guy for a year. What do they charge? And he said anywhere from $12,000 to $35,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Joe, who's works working with the CEO at Mayo Clinic charges $30,000 a year to work with him. Well, you know, that's a huge organization and that's CEO level. So, you know, that's one group of numbers. I think you said you charge $9,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I have been thinking, you know, 10 to 12, I guess, somewhere in there.
And what happens for you when you say 10 to 12, but you hear what your friends just told you? 12 to 35 and 30.
Well, I think they're different. They're different worlds. You know, if you're talking about established companies where the company is paying the bill,
right?
That's different from working with an individual who'd be paying out of his own pocket.
Okay.
I think those are different pricing structures.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for the sake of time, because I know you have to go. Thinking just about who he is and what world he's in, you know, my prices are as they are because I'm usually working with individual startups. You know, they're paying it completely out of their pocket or their business cash flow or whatever.
Right.
And I did set my fee at $15,000 for a while. I had maybe 4 or 5 clients who paid that. It was too much of a stretch, so I went back to 9.
Okay.
That's just me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I understand.
And, you know, also my own mindset. I clearly couldn't get my mind to that place. And so there's a sweet spot of if you put out a number that you can't stand behind, you're not going to get it.
Exactly.
And if you put out a number too low, he's not going to respect you. He's a savvy business person.
Right.
He's hired other coaches.
Yeah, it would be really, really interesting to know what he's paid in the past.
Yeah, which you probably won't. So,
well, about that? Could I just? I say, well, Terry, you've had coaches before. What have you paid in the past?
Is that a fair question? Yeah, absolutely. And it's fair of him to answer or not to answer.
Yeah.
I have asked that before. I've asked people what their expectations are. I've asked them if they'd interviewed other people, and they'll tell me. They give me real numbers,
uh-huh.
And then I say, okay, that's where that is. This is where we are. What do you want to do with it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it's an excellent question. Why have to do this brain damage by yourself?
I mean, I guess what occurs to me is that, to me, it's just a made-up number, however you do it, and
right.
And so it can be whatever you decide it's going to be, and I think it's true that people end up paying you not what they think they're worth, but what you think you're worth.
Right, exactly. Now, another thing to consider if we're not going to resolve this today is if you offer 3 months and 12 months, what's your thought about, some people just naturally say, okay, well, 3 months is easy. That'd be a quarter of 12. I don't tend to come from that school. Where do you come from?
I don't either.
Do
I think,
you know?
Yeah, I think it should be less per month if you buy the whole year.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's how I structure it.
Yeah, so in other words, if I decided that $12,000 was a year was my number, then 3 months is, definitely needs to be more than 3,000.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, maybe if my number was 10,000, maybe my 3 month thing is 3,000. Something like that.
Does that give you enough to work with?
Yeah, it does. Let's, before you go, do you mind if we schedule our next session? I would love to do that if you can.
Please. Oh, it's so much easier. We're both here. Yes, let's
do
that.
Let's see. I could actually do the 18th if that works for you.
Let me
do
see.
It before, get one in before Christmas. Is that a possibility?
It is. I could do, this is weird, but could you do 2:15?
Sure.
Is that too strange? Okay.
No.
And do you want to schedule a little longer than an hour? Let me see, what would that be?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, let's see, 2:15 to 3:15. So how about 2:15 to 3:30?
All right.
We'll try that.
Okay.
So let me
this
get this
works
in
pretty
here.
Well, except for we're kind of crunched here at the end, and I have a lot more I could give you, but I know we're already past the time you need to go. So if before you meet with him on Tuesday, you have some thoughts or you have a quick question, send me an email or give me a quick call.
Okay. Awesome. I really appreciate that.
You bet.
Ann, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, and you're welcome.
This is just a really good trade for me. I'm just delighted that we're doing this.
Me too.
It's just a perfect... talk about synergy. This is synergy for me.
I love that. Now I get to experience synergy. And, you know, when you described it and when you read it, it felt so good. But the fact that I didn't know what it was didn't feel so good.
Yeah, that's a red flag for me. So, yeah, I got to pay attention to that. Hey, you know what we're doing a week from tomorrow?
I have no idea.
Of course you don't. Lori and I are going to go see Fleetwood Mac.
No way!
Yeah.
Are they at the Pepsi Center?
They're at the Pepsi Center. And
I
we have
think
really
I remember
good
hearing
seats.
That like a year ago or something.
Yeah, I paid $600 for these tickets.
So I guess you don't have an extra one is what you're saying?
No, we don't. No.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, I
but
love
that
Fleetwood
fun?
Mac. That is
yeah.
So great.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun.
So what day
them,
is it?
But it's Friday night.
Okay.
So I'll
mm-hmm.
give you a report on the following Thursday.
Wow, yay. Oh, have an amazing time.
Yeah, thanks, Ann. Have a great couple of weeks. We'll talk
I will, you
talk
too.
Then.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Rolf.